authorize the operation. And the second scenario says that Zelensky was in the loop, but after CIA executed some pressure on the Ukrainian army, he stepped back and tried to stop the plot. The commander was already on its way, and it was impossible to stop the operation happening. But in both scenarios, it is an Ukrainian operation. It is within Ukrainians' responsibility, and it raises significant political questions. Germany is a second biggest supporter of Ukraine, no doubt about that. But this attack must be debated on a political level as well.
And what about the other suspects, Holger?
Well, we know at least some descriptions about the guys. We have some photos of them. We have some false names. But I'm pretty convinced that German investigators will find out at the end who was on board of that sailing yacht. We might not be able to solve that mystery at the end politically, but I'm quite sure that we will, after some time, know who exactly executed that attack, who was the perpetrators.
I want to thank you very much for being with us, Holger Stark, Deputy Editor-in-Chief, head of the investigative team at Germany's biggest weekly, Die Zeit. He wrote their new exclusive report, "Has the Mystery of the Baltic Sea Attack Been Solved?" That does it for our show. Tune in all next week, August 19th to the 23rd, as Democracy Now! Broadcasts from the Democratic National Convention in Chicago, breaking with convention, war, peace, and the presidency. We're expanding to 2 hours daily. We also have job openings at Democracy Now!, currently accepting applications for director of development, support our fundraising efforts, and archives intern. Check democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
You are listening to KBOO Portland. KBOO Community Radio's annual meeting and board election will take place on Saturday, September 21st at 1 p.m. at the Show Bar in Southeast Portland. The meeting will include a state of the station presented by KBOO's Board of Directors, as well as opportunities for members to meet the candidates running in the board election. Final votes will be cast and the results of the election will be announced at the end of the meeting. Again, that's KBOO Community Radio's annual meeting and board election on Saturday, September 21st at 1 p.m. at the Show Bar, 1300 Southeast Stark Street in Portland. Ballots and more information can be found at kboo.fm/board24.
Breaking with convention, war, peace, and the presidency. I'm Amy Goodman. Join Democracy Now! For our expanded 2-hour daily coverage from the Republican and Democratic National Conventions. We'll be at the DNC in Chicago from August 19th to 23rd. We'll be reporting from the streets to the corporate suites to the convention floor, bringing you the voices of people from the top to the bottom, inside and out. That's Democracy Now! Breaking with convention.
Hi, this is Judy Collins, and you're listening to KBOO in Portland. Girls, we run this. Yeah. Girls, we run this. Yeah. Girls, we run this. Yeah. Girls, we run this.
Good morning. This is The Gap. You are tuned in to The Gap. My name is Tammy, and with me is the one and only Althea Billings.
Hello and good morning. Happy to be here. How are you doing?
Happy to be here, too. This is, here we are on. This is The Gap. Most listened to talk radio show on KBOO at 8 a.m. on Fridays. When we are on, and that is scientifically, you know,
it's a data-driven conclusion that we're really putting out there right now. Friday Talk Radio, we like to do a two-parter type of show here on The Gap. First half of the show, sometimes we're doing interviews. Today we got a news roundup. Would you believe things continue to happen, and we continue to have to talk about them?
Mm.
And in the second half of the show, that's when we get to our community question segment where you can call in and chat with us. So stick around for that.
But before all of that.
Before.
Some pleasantries.
Some pleasantries. Some announcements, question mark?
Oh, yeah. Some announcements. Oh, yeah. This is, I should have had Vitamin C's graduation in the background as I was saying this. We are going to, I am going to be leaving the show next month in September. My last show here will be Friday the 13th. I did want to keep it scary.
Yep.
for no other reason other than just, you know, just gotta go where the wind takes me.
Yeah.
And it's taking me onto
the other coast.
The eastern winds, as they say.
Oh, the eastern winds. Yeah,
Eastern winds.
Yeah, so the grand finale of The Gap is going to be on September 13th. You got five...
Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
You got five shows left. Enjoy us while you can. And we'll miss you so much.
I'll miss it here. I'll miss the boo. I'll miss the people.
The music bed is I'm brilliant. Really, we'll get sappy in 5 weeks.
We'll get sappy in 5 weeks. But please stay tuned in. We'll be here for every Friday. We will be here.
We'll be here.
Whether they want us or not.
Yeah.
Until the 13th. And thank you, Ender, for squeezing us in. For next week also.
Yeah.
We'll continue to make Amy Goodman proud, and we'll continue to make you, the listener, proud.
Yes.
Until our finale.
The finale.
That's where we're at.
All right, cut the music.
And on to some good news.
We do have some good news today. I mean, graduation is good news, but
yeah, sure.
Actual good news.
This is really great. This is slow clap. Portland Public Schools will now offer free breakfast and lunch every day to students in the upcoming academic school year.
Woo! That's, like, honestly good news.
That's fantastic news. If he wanted to, he would, and it happened.
And he's the school district, and he does. He wants to hang out again.
Yeah, he wants to hang out. This is fantastic. I don't know. You know what? Good. I don't even...
Yeah.
Good.
And yeah, it's regardless of need. So, you know, you don't have to have families filling out, you know, the free and reduced lunch.
That's assuming that your family can, you know, that's the only thing that I hated whenever I was a student. You had to get parents' permission to do something. My mom's working 80 hours a week. I don't know where she's at. I can't get permission for anything.
Yeah.
But this instantly enrolls you for breakfast and lunch, not just lunch. Breakfast and lunch. Oh, amazing.
Kids got
to
eat.
They have to.
I mean, immediately thinking about, like, graduation rates, like, how it's going to improve kids' test scores and stuff like that. You do better on a full belly. The one, like, wrinkle that they're saying is, like, well, for one thing, if you are trying to, like, you know, set up your payment for the school, they're not taking checks or money or anything anymore. But if you're one of those kids who, like, buys just the milk, they're like, oh, you have to get some, like, fruits and veggies now too. Oh, twist my arm, I have to eat a banana, you know. But it's free, so I don't know.
To bring the banana home, someone will make banana bread.
There you go.
You know,
it's an invitation into more food later if you don't want to eat it right now.
This is so fantastic. This is really just, we have millions of children that go to school hungry, and it's so avoidable, and finally this has become a priority. And I think we're going to be seeing a lot more of this statewide, especially with the new VP pick. I think that was with Waltz.
Waltz.
I'm trying hard not to say Waltz.
It feels good to say Waltz.
Yeah, do the Harris Waltz.
There you go.
Anywho's.
But yeah, he signed one into law as Minnesota governor.
And I think this is going to be, I really hope, and also we saw from COVID provisions that we're trying to help both with the child tax and just expanding food benefits for people who need them.
It looks like Beaverton School District is doing a similar thing.
Salem Kaiser
has them as well. So look, everybody's getting breakfast. Do they still do those French toast sticks?
I was thinking about the French toast sticks.
Those are
cinnamon rolls.
Damn good. Okay.
Yeah, you're gonna have to step it up though.
Yeah. You got longer lines now because everybody wants them. I mean, it's gonna definitely be more contentious, to figure out on the days where the food's really good.
Oh, yeah, I remember, yeah.
Like, chicken burgers or whatever. Like, everybody really likes those.
Thursday's usually pizza day for...
Oh, pizza.
Pizza, yeah.
But also, here's a knock-on effect. You know, if you forget your lunch at home...
Right.
Your parent doesn't need to, like, run in to give it to you.
Right, and you don't go hungry just because you made a mistake, like always old people do.
Mmm. Mmm.
Oh, here it is.
We just want to start with some good news, you know?
Yeah.
Good. Everybody needs to eat if they're going to sit through a bunch of busy work all day.
Did you eat breakfast today, Althea?
I did.
Oh, okay.
Did you?
No, I did not. Oh. Breakfast? It's 8 o'clock in the morning and my stomach isn't up.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. A lot of people that I know are like that. I kind of eat immediately. Well, in like the, you know, 15 minutes it takes me to make it. Then I'm ready to go.
I'm shocked. Good for you. Good for you.
If I eat too early, then I'm like hungry for lunch at 11. You guys ever know about how hunger works? Okay, sorry. Now I'm telling you things you already know. We got more stories.
Yeah, speaking of things we already know.
Things we already know. Go.
This title from the Willamette Week. The city plants trees to shade cooking East Portland, but can't seem to keep them alive. As it said in our... as our ancestors said, if you plant them, they will die. Very unfortunate. It's a continuous thing. It's a.
It's like here's sort of we're developing our own idiom. You know, you're like, oh, you would never do that. You wouldn't plant a tree and not water it. You know, just to indicate something stupid.
You don't plant a tree in East Portland and not water it. That sounds good.
Yeah. The city does, but it's stupid that they're doing that.
Last August, they reported that dozens of saplings in the Mill Park neighborhood had died because the city didn't water them. And there have been two more bouts of tree death since then. Jeez, there's strong
words. It's a little funny that the Sophie Peel's were calling it one massacre came in July. Okay, it's trees.
Sure.
I mean, yeah.
She's painting a picture, that's for sure.
She's painting a picture.
This is really sad. And
City contractor skipped 3 weeks of watering during some of the hottest weeks of the year. They are going to replace them on their own dime, though, so that's good.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, really? Oh, I say they sure they don't want to do, like, maybe try to do a tax that's specifically for the dead tree tax?
Welcome to the tree tax. You've heard of the arts tax. Get ready for it.
I know, right?
Yeah.
And it's very... critical. Why don't they just try? I don't know. So many different questions.
Don't people need jobs? Sorry. I thought the unemployment rate was like 4%. Surely there's somebody who could be watering trees.
The city that works, they say. The contractor then has deployed additional watering visits, and some trees are rebounding, sending out a fresh set of leaves.
Yeah. I mean,
I just wonder how many millions they're getting paid. I see the word contractor. I see red. Yeah. I see contracts. I see red because I'm in the red.
Open bid?
Open bid. I'll do it for half the price. I will do it for half. I just want all of them to know. It costs $404 to plant one tree. I'll do it for $303.
There you go.
What's up?
That's the markdown that you need to keep this going. I mean, yeah. So,
and even trees that were planted. So it says during a late July inspection, the saplings the city found that 125 of 434 trees planted there in the spring have died or were severely stressed.
Cut out the middleman, just plant some dead trees. You go down to the lumber yard, get some of those, stick that in the ground, there you go.
Oh.
Essentially the same thing.
I get it. If it was really hot, I get it. But what, you can't do like a nighttime? And also, like, we had a week when we were talking, you had brought the report in about the desert island zones or...
The urban heat islands.
Heat islands. And this is exactly... This is supposed to help with that. It's supposed to somehow relieve the heat that people in the east side feel. But they don't care. I said it.
Mm.
They'll do lip service. They'll see people are angry. They'll do a little lip service. And then they're like, oh, okay, look, these stupid East Portlanders, they don't care anymore. So we're move on to the next thing and let them just dry out in there. I see. I live on the East Side. I see exactly what they're talking about.
You gotta water it if you want it to grow.
I'll take it upon myself. You know what? And this is exactly the problem.
Yeah.
The people see that there's an issue, that the government, whether it's local or federal, they're not taking care of it.
Mm-hmm.
So someone says, you know what? Let's do it ourselves. Let's just come together and do it ourselves. You know, whether it's nonprofit or whether it's organizing or whether it's direct action, and it absolves the government of its responsibility.
Yeah.
And because they don't, it's, we can't.
Yeah, you could, I don't know.
I mean, but
if you like, couldn't you ask somebody in the neighborhood to, like, instead of contracting it out, it's like, look, $100 a week. Can you keep this thing watered?
Right? Or like, we'll take off $50 from your taxes.
From your property tax.
Something, you know? If you just take care... Why not? Because are you kidding me?
Yeah, I think it's also the thing of like that, you know, maybe a contractor is not as invested in the community as opposed to like people who actually live there, you know? So if they're...
Are we still talking about plants or are we talking about policing?
Policing, talking about representation, right, yeah. Like, you know...
No, it's true, yeah.
100 trees die in a part of town I don't live in. It's, like, less impactful than it's, like, outside of my door.
Well, because you don't see it out of sight, out of mind, you know? And it's not, it's just, I get it, you know? If I go plant something in, you know, at your house, I'm not going to think about, you know, if I talk to you every day, I'm going to think about it, but not, like, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, one other thing that this makes me think of, right, is with this urban heat island effect, everybody's like, oh, tree cover is part of what makes up the difference. And so, like, you know, like a neighborhood like Ladd's Addition or in, like, the West Hills, there's a lot of trees that have been there for a long time, and they're really tall, and they create a lot of shade, which is really good for taking the temperature down. And we need to take the temperature down, especially in areas of East Portland where there's a lot, there's not as many,
it's
like...
Concrete,
yeah. Yeah, more concrete.
It's concrete trees. Jungle out there.
But we also can't wait 30 years until those trees are big enough to like cool down the whole neighborhood. So I think also like thinking about some of those other strategies that we've talked about on shows before of, you know, maybe we need to get like off the light poles or something, some fabric, something to reflect the heat. Let's make a big sale. I don't know. Like paint the concrete white, whatever we decide to do, but just
even bushes or something, you know,
yeah,
like at least, you know,
stuff that
a tree
keeps
in a bush, a tree in a sapling, tree in, or like a sapling in a bush, and sap. So then at least the wildlife will get some sort of
right. And
know.
Keeping the ground cool, yeah. Is also like, you know, like can't have the dirt getting too hot.
What do you think?
Talking about hot dirt.
What do you? That's a cool band name. What do you think of this? Of what Carbon Rubio was saying about how they're going to try to use the Portland Clean Energy Fund funds to try to. This is.
I mean, sure, I guess.
But shouldn't, but if we, okay, if we start to say the tree qualified in the city, this is really how the sentence starts, tree qualified, comma, and the city received.
Trees qualified.
Received $40 million to plant between 1,500 to 15,000 to 25,000 trees in East Portland, most sun-seared neighborhoods over 5 years. If they tried it on a smaller scale and couldn't maintain it, what makes them think that doing it on a larger scale would be able to maintain it?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
If you planted, they will die.
Right. Okay, so if you build... Okay, here's a new structural idea. You plant the tree outside of somebody's house. You say, we know that it takes X amount of water per month to keep this tree alive. Especially during the summer, we knock that amount off your water bill.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a matter of doing it.
I wonder Althea, I'm with you. Whatever we come up with would make a little bit more sense than...
Who needs a policy director? I'm kidding. Let's come up with a way to not have it, you know, I don't know. This is such a goofy problem to
have. May these be our actual problems, but it's not at all.
I mean, yeah, it's unfortunately emblematic of some of the way that stuff gets handled around here. And here's the thing, you know, what did we say the theme for the year was? I think it was be patient, but also in another sense, tighten up, you know, these are some of the basic things. We should be able to plant a tree and water it. You got the tree already started growing. You found a sapling. Like, I feel like that's the hard part. And then you just got to water the tree, man. You probably have a house plant you're watering. You're drinking water in the morning. Go if you're thirsty, they're thirsty, okay?
I don't, it's
okay, we can, I'm sorry, we can,
I'm not a, this is, life finds a way, they say.
So true. One day they'll invent a tree that doesn't need water.
Yeah. Don't. This will be the place they'll do it. They'll say, you know what?
Somebody call Elon.
Oh, God, no. We can't. The last time we did, we brought his name up. You notice ever since then, I've never brought his name up.
Oh, really? You took it that serious. Okay, I'm putting X out that conversation.
Speaking of Xing out conversations.
Oh.
A quick update from KGW about the, and I quote from the title, lawyer who sued dozens of Portland businesses for minor ADA violations, now under state ethics investigation.
Yep.
Allegedly.
Yep. Allegedly.
I'm not getting hemmed up. I know what you said. Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Jessica Mulligan of...
She's going to want a mulligan.
Oh.
Go
no,
on.
Not, just, this is terrible. Is getting into deep water after receiving an additional 3 different complaints that were obtained through public records request that were in relation to the ADA lawsuits and in addition to Slevin's lawsuit for $4 million, alleging that his name was used in filing suits that he was not aware of, even though he was getting paid to go to these restaurants and other places to report back if there are any violations.
Yeah. And Mulligan was like hired by a Tennessee firm to kind of like be the local face of this. A disproportionate number of these ADA lawsuits, about half of them involved Asian-owned businesses. Mm. And it sort of amounted to like a shakedown, you know, where they're like, hey, on my letterhead, you're in violation of the ADA. Give me $10,000. No, I won't tell you what you did wrong. Mm-hmm. And we do not know the full scope of how many businesses may have settled outside of court. And it wasn't until she was suing somebody for not paying up the $6,000 that she wanted from them that this came to light, that KGW got the story. Gnarly stuff, gnarly stuff. Could be disbarred, could be disciplined.
Yes.
I mean, and that's just from like the association that regulates lawyers, to speak nothing of
the Oregon State Bar, right?
And then
exactly on top of it, if she is found to, you know, be, if she got, I mean, $4 million, I don't have $4 million lying around, you know. We'll see what's going on with that, but they are, yeah, they're taking this very seriously. So I'm glad that there's been a follow-up, because it's been developing for a couple of weeks now, and it did start with, yeah, just like it was kind of like a group of people got together and they're like kind of like pointing at each other. Oh, you too? You too? Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. What is this? And then they got someone was advocating with them, and I think was doing pro bono work. I can't remember his name, but it's great to see that it's moving along, especially after what happened with the spot off of near Cauley there.
Yeah, which was the odor complaint. But yeah, just
smellometer.
Kind of insult and injury piling on.
Yeah.
Anyway, just that's your quickie update. Next.
Quick update. Next.
The Oregon Health Authority had an audit out recently. And wouldn't you know it, they spent millions of dollars trying to fix the behavioral health system that we've got going on, specifically trying to grow our workforce. We're some of the worst in the nation when it comes to like mental behavioral health stuff. Spent about $80 million, did not sort of put in that spending any metrics to determine if they've done a good job. So the audit's like, hey, why'd you do that? That's bad. It's unclear how much funding, how much progress the funding brought. The agency cannot show effectiveness, this is from the OBB article, of its programs because it did not design performance metrics to show their impact, the agency's auditors concluded in an internal report. This has restricted the agency's ability to demonstrate the long-term benefits to lawmakers or communities.
They did not do this. That's if they didn't have any metrics, that's because if there is no expectations, then you'll never not meet them. I'm not saying they did it on purpose, but I'm not saying they. I mean, allegedly. If I had to, I would do the same thing.
You're gonna be incensed by this. There's also separately, auditors found severe delays in award distribution in some cases for 5 agreements. The authority took longer than 5 months to realize contracts. After receiving submissions,
I'm gonna flip this. I'm gonna go full housewife and flip this table. You're lucky
somebody,
this table can't get out of this room.
A glass of grape juice and splash it in the OHA.
I'm splashing it in someone's face.
How dare you?
This, of course, no. If you don't have, why would you have guidelines that would hold you accountable to anything? That's silly. That means other people can see it. Other people can do it. Mm. Outside bodies, institutions can do it. You can be held accountable. That's crazy. Why would you want to be held accountable when it comes to the health authority? That's, you know, obviously I'm being sarcastic in case someone's like, what is she talking about? I'm incensed.
Yeah. I mean, I guess in a positive sense, there's a lot of willingness to try to fix the problem. We put a lot of money towards fixing the problem. This is a problem. Let's fix the problem.
There's a lot of willingness to take money, Althea.
That's,
I don't know if
true
it's to
too.
Fix it. They want that money.
But what are we doing with it? Like, oh my.
Is it
you assign somebody to do something, you want to know if they did it or not.
Not if just you don't want them to not do that thing. Not if you just want them to just be there, be like a body that takes up, like, you know, money. I wouldn't say this if it was, if they, I wouldn't say this if I didn't read that. But I read this, mm-hmm. I said, this is, please change my mind. I don't want to think this about the people who are supposed to be in charge of the Oregon Health Authority.
Yeah. Yeah, I was saying that yesterday. You guys did pretty good on the pandemic. I know you can organize, you can put something together. You have, performance metrics exist. You don't have to reinvent the wheel here, you know? And presumably, like 47 other states have it going better than we do, so you could also ask them how they're measuring it.
Like I said earlier, if he wanted to, he would. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it really, I don't know. I'm very worried about the Oregon health, like the medical field in Oregon. There's constantly, we have these stories, and the new form of government can't come fast enough. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it will help in any way, but at least there'll be somewhere where there is some sort of clear
delineation.
Yes, of what, yeah. Who does what, when, and how, you mm-hmm. know? And I don't know if like a city administrator or a city manager, whatever they're calling, if this would fall under something that they would do. But God bless the edits.
The kind of akin to the Oregon level. I mean, it's also like not to say anything bad about the people who are actually doing the work, you know, actually trying to train people to be in the behavioral health workforce, especially trying to get more like worker retention in that out in rural areas, so people don't have to drive super super far to be able to get healthcare like that, or to have, you know, because they know that having, you know, a more diverse workforce, like who represents or who is like identified with the community that they're serving, like that also makes a difference in terms of outcomes. Those are performance metrics we know about. That stuff does make a difference. Like it's been studied, but it's like, what do you mean you don't know what did or didn't work? Now they don't want us to know.
Hey, that's, I know I'm like getting a little conspiratorial, but if they can tell you that much, why can't, so there's,
let's get it together and look, with the watering trees.
Mm.
If you ask somebody to do something, you know, if you're contracted to work a certain amount of hours and you don't show up, I don't know. I'm losing my own metaphor.
Yeah.
It's just silly.
Listen, we are not Republican congressmen where we can just leave our job posts, you know?
Yeah. I'm not just calling in sick to every vote in the Senate or whatever.
We got it. It's a city that works.
I didn't feel like measuring if my work was doing anything. Who would even say that?
Somebody the Oregon Health Authority, I guess.
Okay. Well, I didn't mean it like that, but yes.
Maybe they thought that they were doing. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe this audit will wake them up.
Shout out auditors.
Yeah, not you know, some of them.
We're very pro, I guess. Well, what kind of audit?
We
love Simone Reed.
Simone Reed audit.
We like,
and this one,
and
that's
the
it.
County auditor, and whoever audited.
The ombudsman. I just want to bring them up. I know that's not an honor.
Still not totally sure what they do, but we think that that's great. One other story we wanted to mention. A Portland plasma donation center, Grifols USA is what it's called, is being sued for allegedly discriminating against gay and bisexual men trying to donate plasma.
Mm.
You can't do that. Class action lawsuit. ACLU's involved. Guess what?
Somebody's getting sued.
Somebody's getting sued. It's this place. yeah, this is gnarly stuff. This is down in Eugene. this guy went in, he answered yes on the questionnaire of, you know, because he's an openly gay man, has he ever had sexual contact with another man? And then boom, banned for life.
You can't do that.
Which you can't do that. You can't do that.
If it was a different question in regards to any health issues,
clean bill of health. Yes, no history of anything.
If the answer is, you know, the contact with another man, that's the answer to get you kicked out or to get you banned. That's not right.
Yeah,
That's not. I don't know. Wherever he would. That's 2024. We can't do that. You can't do that anymore. There are strong repercussions and consequences for doing something like that. And I think that they should be held accountable to every letter of the law.
Yeah, yeah.
All of them, A through Z.
A through Z. I mean, it's also counter to FDA guidelines, which changed last year about gay and bisexual men and blood donation, which is related to plasma donation, that it needs to be based on an individualized health assessment. And they're screening all of the donations for all of diseases that they're worried about anyway. So
For all donations, regardless of whether you tell them the truth or not.
So, what?
Yeah, because sometimes people don't even know if they, you know, if they have, like, I don't know, some sort of, like, blood disease or, like, I think epilepsy is also, like, a thing that you can't donate.
They want you to have good liver function before they take a bunch of your blood.
Yeah, well, that that X's out a handful of my friends. No, you can't do that. You can't do that. Mm-mm.
Yeah. Anyway, what? How'd you miss this one? You know what I mean?
What do you mean?
Well, like the FDA guidelines changed.
Oh, how did you miss the FDA? Yeah.
You know, now you think that you could just... In Oregon?
I mean, out of all places. What, in Eugene?
Yeah, come on.
This is...
Not this.
Yeah, this is not the... No, I don't think that... Yeah, I don't think you're going to find anyone who's like, oh, well, let's hear him out. But that's about all we've got for today, this morning.
The news roundup. We're going to head into our community question segment next. You're listening to The Gap. I'm Althea.
Hello, I'm Tammy.
We'll be back in a sec.
Pensando cada día, cada hora. Pensando en ti. Caminando, mi seta llena de moras, son para ti. Temprano, por la tarde y por la noche, sueño de ti. Santa María de la Feira, qué placer. La gente buena solo goza, nunca hay pena. ¿Pa' qué sufrir? Jugando en el mar, en la arena. Así. Ventana blanca.
And we are back here on The Gap on KBOO Portland. My name is Tammy and with me is Althea.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good.
Nice to be here.
Enjoyed a little tune.
Yeah, it got me in a little do-do-do-do-do.
Totally. Totally.
We are switching over to the community question. Here is when we open up the phone lines for you to transform from a listener to a caller and discuss our community question.
Yes. Inspired by free breakfast and lunch at the public schools, our community question today is all about food.
Mm.
We want to know, is there a food that's changed your life? Or what's your go-to comfort food? What's your relationship to, cooking as well? We would love to know. 503-231-8187. I'm going to rattle off the other ways as well. You can message us on the website, kbu.fm, on the chat with us button. Click on it. Type in it. Talk to us. You can also email us at thegapradio@gmail.com. You can also message us on Instagram. The handle is at thegapradio. I did it.
Boom.
I was hype it up more than I need. That's not that hard to say.
And we got the birds that you can fly over, or if you want to use the mind communication mechanisms.
Whoa.
Flipped it on.
If you want to beam a thought into Tammy's brain, you can do it right now. We're talking food.
Favorite food, comfort food, foods that changed your life.
Yeah.
And I think that we have a caller on the line already. Steven, you with us?
You're with us. Hi.
Yes. Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. I really enjoy your show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I enjoy it a lot. I enjoy your humor. But what prompted me to call was when you were discussing that story about the OHA.
Yeah.
That is the second article now on the OHA, both having to do with diversity. Since the woman Leanne Johnson of the OHA, who was in charge of diversity and discrimination, her job, she was fired for doing her job. It was a front page story in the Oregonian, and the subsequent stories, just like the one you just mentioned about the audit, makes no mention of the fact that she was fired for doing her job. And in that front page story, it did say that many, many of the employees at the OHA were really upset at her firing.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, she was just doing her job. But the head honchos didn't like hearing her point out things that they were doing that were discriminatory.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just interesting, these subsequent stories, even though it has to do with discrimination and diversity and everything, have made no mention of that fact. It's just it was on the front page, and now there's never been a mention of it again. Not in the Willamette Week. I've not seen anything about it, even in these stories about the OHA.
Mm-hmm.
I see this right now. There's a SOPB article. See it here. It's Leanne Johnson.
I think adds another component as well to how you make an organization work, whether that's a government department or a nonprofit or a business or whatever, like having good leadership and having vision, and they talk about just sort of being in disarray, and I think connecting it to that firing makes a lot of sense. Well, thank you for calling. We appreciate it. Do you want to say anything about food that changed your life? Yeah, you got a go-to comfort food?
Food that changed my life. Well, I guess we can all say things about food. I can remember when I was in high school, one of eight kids in our family, our dad would set out bread the night before toast, and then he would put, Crisco or whatever it was in the frying pan, and he would imagine eight kids, and he'd be making French fried toast. There was blue smoke in the kitchen. we wanted more, another one. Now you couldn't eat two of those things, or you'd be bent over. But back then, when you're kids, man, it was just flattered with butter and syrup, and
Oh man! Luckily, those students now will be able to get their lunch too. Maybe avoid the blue smoke in the mornings.
Yeah, that is good. Yeah, that's really good.
French toast sounds great. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for calling.
You're welcome. Again, thank you for your show.
Of course, thank you.
We did get a message on the website talking more about favorite comfort foods. Clara says macaroni and cheese.
Ooh,
that's a good one.
Yeah. Oh, I just got
comforted with a. Do you ever do it with like the breadcrumbs?
Little crunchiness?
That's when you're really dressing it up.
That is a cultural. You know about the cultural thing with the breadcrumbs?
Tell me.
Oh, we'll talk about that later.
Oh, okay.
Blue smoke, huh? Man, I can see that. I can imagine all the 8 kids running around, the blue smoke.
And you're going through a lot of bread if you're trying to French toast feed 8 people.
Yeah.
As someone who sometimes... French toast is a good sort of like pinch meal. It's like, oh, suddenly there's friends at my house. We need to eat. You know, it'll be good. And it's like just fancy enough that they're excited about it.
And now in the mornings, imagine, you know, because now the school will have breakfast and maybe... You don't make a whole thing of, you know, you don't have to make as much.
We gotta call the nutrition services and make sure they're still doing French toast sticks.
I know, this is really, a lot of all really we're doing, talking about is really hinges on the French, fact that the it's French toast. You got any?
We do have another caller on the line, I believe. Hi, Casey. You're on with us.
Hey, how's it going? Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Friday. Called in today because when I was listening to the show, I heard that you guys aren't going to be on the air anymore after September. Is that what I heard?
Yes. So September 13th is going to be our grand finale.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, cheers to you guys. You're going to be missed. I enjoy my Fridays with you.
Thank you. We're going to miss doing it.
For sure.
Word. Well, on to bigger and better things.
You know, we hope. But we what could be better than this?
Good. Change is good.
Thank you. You got any food that changed your life? Go to comfort food action?
Not really, but I mean, food is food. But hearing the gentleman that was talking earlier, like, I couldn't imagine. Like, I grew up with 6 siblings, so like I'm the youngest of 6. So like the whole big family, quick, easy, simple, get them fed out the door. And I think it's great that Portland's finally allowing children to come and eat for free because eating is not a privilege.
It's a good point.
Oh, yeah.
Very true.
So 6 kids. Wow. Yeah. I'm really getting jealous. I'm an only child. 8 kids,
yeah,
6 kids.
I was a homeschooler, too, on top of that.
Whoa.
In the 90s and in the late 80s. So it was like we were home.
On top of each other all the time.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Good old Dodge van with no seats in the back. You know, the whole 80s, 90s experience. We're all bouncing around. If we were too loud, my dad would take the corner a little sharper.
I like that.
Yeah, that's...
People should always have, if you're going to have kids, have kids. Don't just have one or two. Give them homies.
I agree. I wish I had some kids too.
Are we homies now? Whatever.
You know, family's complicated.
It teaches you a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It does.
And homeschooling.
It does.
Like, I mean, no diss on the public schools, but I mean, homeschooling, if you can do it, do it.
Mm.
Do it before they say you can't do it.
Mm.
Casey, thank you so much for calling. We appreciate it.
Yeah, cheers to you guys and on to your new adventure.
Thank you. We'll still be here for a few more shows.
We got
no worries.
Another month.
Yeah, another month.
If other folks want to call, please, you're welcome. We're talking about food that changed your life, your go-to comfort food, cooking. What are you guys making? We want to know. 503-231-8187. And we have Tawasi on the line. Hey, Tawasi.
Good morning.
How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. You know what? I love food, and I think we're all really lucky to live in a city that's thought of as a foodie city. We're so fortunate, you know, and even though a lot of the food that's associated with Portland is kind of crappy food, like a donut or something, like, we're still pretty cool when you think about it. So with that aside, one of my favorite foods is a peach. I just love a peach. If it's just ripe enough, and it's going to make a mess, so I have to have a napkin right there. But I love it. Mm. I wish I could just live on peaches.
Aww.
So good.
And it's peach season right now. You can go to the store and get a pound of peaches for $2.
Whoa.
Stay on here.
That is...
So,
that's great.
We're
very lucky with the berries and the strawberries, and
it's just the best season.
And
for
the plutes,
it.
Is that
pluot?
Pluot. That's been my new favorite thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, which is kind of like a peach. But I'll be thinking about you, Tawasi, next time I get one.
So you know, just when you're poor, and you eat food, you don't necessarily think about yourself as being poor and eating food. it's only now as an adult that I look back on being a child and realize how I was eating badly because we were poor. Mm. And, you know, I thought that a lot of the stuff that was part of my life was just normal for people, but it turns out that's like hunger pains and malnutrition. So, you know, it's something like 1 in 5 children in Portland go to sleep hungry.
Mm. Yes, and I believe we're at 1 to 7 that are food insecure, actually, in Multnomah County, or 1 to 6. It's pretty... Oh, boy, it seems like we got another person on the air there. Maybe we can...
All right, well...
Okay. Food security is something that's not... We're not at 100% yet, you know?
No.
And hunger is the first thing that people, you know, they'd rather pay rent than... get food, you know? So hunger is the first thing that people feel once they, you know, get to a certain point in their lives. So yeah. I totally understand.
So just one more thing about food sovereignty, because that's the bottom line of this, is that when you have food sovereignty, it makes you more comfortable in the world that you live in and more able to, like you're saying, just be a person.
Mm-hmm.
But, food sovereignty is the first thing that was taken from my relatives and my ancestors. And even now in Oregon, our ability to hunt and fish is strictly regulated by the state.
Mm-hmm.
And it was my dad's lifetime when they were fighting with clubs and tear gas against the state to have the right to fish. You know, that's like less than 50 years ago.
Mm.
So... you know, the people right now who are really hungry across our state are indigenous people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because food sovereignty is very intentionally stolen. So, you know, and the logical end goal of that behavior is what we're seeing play out right now in Palestine, in Gaza.
Mm.
Because... your average Gazan person has less than 240 calories to eat in a whole day, you know.
Yeah.
So, and it's because they stole food sovereignty.
Yeah, everybody definitely needs to eat.
Highly recommend checking out people getting informed about the fish wars. It's a really, they got a couple of documentaries, but it, you know, it's right here in Pacific Northwest. The history is... it's here. It's right here. History is in history. It's barely even over.
Oh, yeah. Very true.
Well, thank you, Tawasa. We really appreciate you.
Yeah.
Always love hearing from you.
Great to hear from you.
Well, I love your show. Thanks for doing what you do.
For sure.
And if other folks want to call, we are talking about food that changed your life, a go-to comfort food in the context of free breakfast and lunch for Portland Public School students. We have Francis on the line. Hi, Francis. Oh, we're getting Francis on the line. If other folks want to message
Hello?
Us, you can also...
Oh,
hey,
you
Francis.
Are.
The website, kbu.fm. What's up? How are you?
Hi. I agree with your last caller, especially on the situation in Gaza.
Mm-hmm.
But I love a good peach. My favorite, though, blackberries have been in my life since... my mother says she pulled me out of the blackberry briars when I was 2 years old, so I don't remember that, but they tickle me. I love how they can grow everywhere, anywhere and everywhere,
mm-hmm.
out of the crack in the sidewalk or whatever. And this year, the blackberries are marvelous. There's a whole bunch of them. They're really good. I'm going out to get my third batch.
All right. What do you eat them morning. Just straight, or do you cook with them, or what
well,
do you do?
I make blackberry pie.
Nice.
That's the best. And I can put some up in the freezer this year for my birthday and Christmas. So we'll have blackberry pie forever.
Nice.
That's my favorite comfort food, go-to food. I grew up with among 7 kids, and my folks always managed to feed us well.
Mm-hmm.
But I can remember having breakfast or dinner.
Mm.
So my favorite meal, whenever time of day, is country hash browns with eggs.
Yum.
That's perfect.
Yum.
That is comforting.
Lots of garlic powder. All right.
Thank you, Francis. We appreciate it.
Care.
I wish you a bountiful blackberry harvest.
Yeah.
if other folks want to call, this is The Gap. We are talking food. Food that you love. Food that changed your life. Your comfort foods. We would love to know.
April, I think you're on the line with us. Can you hear us?
Yes, I am.
You're on there? How are you?
Hooray, you're back.
Hi, I'm pretty good. I called again. So, two different times in my life, it was two different foods, because part of the reason was, like Tarasi was talking about, you know, what you can afford. So when I had kids and I couldn't afford a whole lot, my very favorite thing to make was quiche, because it's fairly inexpensive, and I had two picky kids that liked different things, and everybody liked quiche. So that was my go-to food when I had kids, and it made my life a lot simpler. Mm-hmm. And now that I, I still have kids, but they're grown up and moved out, it's time to focus on me. Mm. And so what's really changed my life, I have a whole bunch of autoimmune diseases, and I work with a naturopath, and so he suggested I stop eating processed foods. Mm-hmm. And I did. And it totally changed my life. Not only did I feel a lot better, you know, doing my own cooking, which I actually find relaxing, but it's just, I mean, I spend less time, I guess, running around. Mm-hmm. So it's a real lifestyle change to start cooking, too.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
And so now my favorite thing is going to the farmer's market every weekend and getting my fresh veggies.
All right.
There it is.
There you go. Yeah. That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for calling, April. We appreciate it.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I love the farmer's market, too. And when everything is different, we're so lucky to live where we do,
We really, really are.
With the bountifulness, the bounty, and the different different seasons, and the mushrooms. Oh, my. You know what? Instead of trees in East Portland, just put mushrooms. Just forget about it. You're trying to fight nature. I'm sorry. Just put a pot tree and a blueberry tree, and that's it. We got to get back to our roots.
Yeah. I have a plan to fix this city.
The farmer's market are amazing here.
Yeah, farmer's market. God. And somebody else was talking about how there is just a lot of good food in Portland.
Restaurants and stuff?
Yeah. And to speak of my own sort of like food stuff, it wasn't until I was like, you know, in my teen years that I really started appreciating food, especially my mom's cooking. Shout out my mom. She's a great cook. I didn't realize it for the first 13 years of my life. A lot of food is really good.
Yeah.
And maybe you should just try it, you know?
Yeah. And there's, I'm thinking of like all the, is it Akadi? It's like the West African food spot.
Mm-hmm.
And they have, all of it can be vegetarian too.
Yeah.
So you don't even have to put protein in it. It's just so many different flavors. Oh my gosh. And then learning how to make a good stew and a good soup.
Mm.
Woo! I'm hungry. I said it.
I know. We talked ourselves into it.
Is there any?
If other folks want to call, 503-231-8187.
Is there anyone on the interweb?
Well, if you want to message us on the interweb, you sure can. KBU.FM. You can also message us on Instagram at The Gap Radio. One other thing I was going to say, just in terms of how on this show we don't like to fall out of a coconut tree.
They don't, yeah. The context of our
the
everything.
Context of, you know. But part of the reason that Portland has such good food is, of course, the Willamette Valley, but also food truck culture, you know?
Okay.
And that allows, you know, chefs to, like, experiment and create something kind of small, but, really test it. And that's, you know, that's birthed so many great restaurants and, you know, you can do well affordably as well. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Some of these places.
And so many great places shut down because of COVID too.
Yeah.
And some of them came back as food trucks. So, I think Montage is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Slowly but surely.
Yeah.
Eating our
Maybe
way through the city.
Maybe we need to invest in food trucks.
Well, we got the pods. Or like you and me, specific, like personal.
You
or,
and me. We're,
or the city.
The show's over, but we're starting a food truck.
Oh, we got one more caller on the line.
Hey, caller, you're on with us.
Yeah, that's me. I'm Annalisa.
Oh, Annalisa, how you doing?
How are you?
Yeah, long time no see.
Yeah.
Anyway, as a child growing up in the Netherlands, I was introduced because people from Indonesia moved to the Netherlands in the 50s or so. And I was introduced to their food and what they make. And one of the things that they made was called a spekkoek, which is two different layers, a light layer and a dark layer, that they put in the oven one by one, and that makes it a delicious dessert. And also the food, of course, the way they cook.
Yeah.
So I learned cooking from them, and I have done it for a long time.
Yeah.
Anyway, my favorite right now is our chestnut. I have a neighbor who has a huge chestnut tree, and they bring me a bag of chestnuts every fall or early fall or next month, maybe. I'm not sure. So that's one of my favorites.
Nice.
And then, so, speaking about mushrooms, my other neighbor works for a farmer's market, and he brought me all kinds of different mushrooms. I don't even know all the names of them. And I sautéed them that same evening, and they were delicious.
Mm.
So, mushrooms, and then, of course, fruit, blueberries and blackberries and all that stuff. So,
yeah.
Thank you. But is there another show coming in your place?
Well, we're working on figuring
it all out.
But for now, you got another month of us.
Yeah, well, I didn't want you to go.
Thank you, Annalisa.
Thank you.
We appreciate the call. You too.
I'm looking at a chestnut. I always get confused between a chestnut tree and a walnut tree.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of them popping around. But yeah, it's about that time.
It's starting to get into, you know, harvest season.
Yeah, I'm into it. Fruits of your labor. Someone's getting sued. Hold on to your schmeckles.
How is this? Eat up.
We got about 5 more minutes.
Yeah, we do.
Man, did we share our comfort foods?
What's your comfort food?
I'm trying to think, honestly. Oh, we have one more caller while I think of it.
Okay, Dana. Hi, how are you?
Yeah, hi, good morning. Hey, I just wanted to, I'm a born and raised Oregonian, and I think one of the foods that has been most important in my life has been the Oregon strawberry.
Mm.
It is by far the best strawberry I've ever had.
Those are the smaller ones, right?
What's that?
They're a little bit smaller, is that right?
Well, you see in the store, I think the strawberries that grow that are in the store, I'm not even sure that they see dirt. I think that they may be grown hydroponically, but the ones that are grown here in Oregon are just super sweet, very flavorful. They're red all the way through.
Yeah.
I grew up in a really large family, and back in the day, so I'm in my 60s, and back in the day, we used to pick strawberries as a summer job for like summer, spending money during the summer at like the fair or maybe buying some school supplies. And we'd stand out on the sidewalk waiting for the berry bus at like 4:30 in the morning.
Oh, wow.
Spend the day out, pick strawberries, earn some money. This was before, I'm sure that there's probably some like child labor laws in place now. And a big shout out to our Hispanic agriculture workers. They're doing the hard work now. Mm. There's nothing better than an Oregon strawberry in terms of berries in the state. So. Mm.
You got my mouth watering.
I am just I'm into it. I'm gonna go to the shop, go to the co-op, and grab myself a few. They don't know. They just pop one in. They don't know.
They come out June. You know, first few weeks of June is when you want to go get them, and doing a strawberry rhubarb pie is just absolutely delicious.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking Althea's language right
now. You are. I love rhubarb. I love strawberries. I famously, my grandmother called me the strawberry girl when I was a kid.
Because
I love strawberries so much. Well, Dana, thank you so much for calling. We appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
Should we do some going on this weekend?
We got to do it really quick.
We'll go quickly. Portland free-for-all events happening. Tonight at 6:30 at Alberta Park, Outer Orbit, a soul funk dance party at 6:30 is happening. And then over at Pendleton Park, Joshua Josue, I actually don't know how to say that one, El Gringo Mariachi, American Chicano Rock Cross-Border Songs, Stories of the Working Class at 6:30 in Pendleton Park. And then on Saturday at 6:30, there's a Motown Soul Review, Chris Delane and the Hurt at Selwood Park, open to the public. And at 7:30 in Rose City Park, they're playing Night at the Museum with Ben Stiller.
7:30.
7:30.
They're all awesome, but something about seeing Night at the Museum outside, outdoors in the summertime puts a smile on my face.
Well, the other week, Tammy and I went to Opera in the Park.
We loved it.
We loved it. La Traviata. Could we understand it?
No.
No.
That lady was shouting. She was very, she was angry about something.
She definitely had tuberculosis.
For sure.
It wasn't going good.
She was not enjoying it.
No.
But we enjoyed ourselves, made a lot of friends, or made one friend.
Made one friend,
yes. Saw a bunch of dogs.
Saw some dogs behaving badly.
Yeah. some behaving well.
Some owners behaving badly.
Yeah. Well, thank you all so much. We got to get out of here. Thank you all, Thea.
We will be back next week.
We will be back next week.
We got an exemption to the preemption.
Yes.
And we will see you then. Thanks for listening to The Gap.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to KBOO Portland at 90.7 FM. The time is 9 a.m. Next up is Veterans Voice.
You are tuned into listener-supported community radio, KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements